is now time for a very flight attendant edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service to tell you which games to pass to your friends and which games to just break the gravity controller and just float on by. I am your captain speaking, Corey. I am joined by the lead, what do I want to say here? Customer experience liaison, Basher.
Good day, sirs.
That's all you got? You don't...
I mean, yeah, I'm a flight attendant. My favorite flight attendants are the ones that don't talk to me.
See, I don't... That's one of those situations where, like, I feel like I don't want them to talk to me, but then, like, when they come around the little carts, it makes an interaction awkward because you don't know which way... Are they going to go left or right? Are they going to go inside or outside?
Don't talk to me. Just hand me the thing or don't. Like, I'm okay. That's...
But then they ask you, like, would you like a Sprite? Would you like a Coke?
I'm here, so just give me the Sprite or the Coke. Like, this is like, why are we having a conversation? Like,
how's it 2023? Why can't I just, like, press the button of what I want? Like, what are we doing? Space Lines from the Far Out. That's what we're here to talk about today. But before that, did you know you can rate us on your favorite podcast service? Just look up Game Pass or Pass and leave us a review. They help out. More people can talk about Space Lines from the Far Out. More people can talk about Need for Speed Unbound. More people can talk about Hi-Fi Rush. I just looked at my list really quick. It's a good game. We played that game. We like it. Do it. Do it now. I'll wait. 574-651-9256 if you also would like to write us, let us know what you think about the show. Space Lines from the Far Out. Here are the details for this game. I also realized in the last episode, I was so, like, over it. Like, I didn't go into any of the details of, like, who made the game, but you probably know who makes Need for Speed at this point, right?
I have no clue who makes Need for Speed or, like, who, Mass Effect.
Who was the person that was listening that was just like, what the hell is Need for Speed? I don't understand what this is. This game is developed by Coffee Knots. Never heard of them. Available on Xbox One, PC, Xbox Series X and S. I played on PC and you played on Xbox, correct?
Yes, because that's all I have still.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks for rubbing it in again and again and again.
Sorry. Does have crossplay, obviously. Does have Series X and S support, but what I'll say is it's not that great. The game looks okay, but it does run at 30 frames on Series X and S, which it doesn't need to. It's not a demanding game at all. That's one reason I hopped over to the PC. And while the crossplay did work, we did have a little bit of connection issues. Every once in a while, it would kind of need to do a sync. And it's not long. It's like 2 to 3 seconds, if even that. But it was definitely... It only did that when we were on crossplay on PC. When we were on console, we didn't have that issue. Nothing game-breaking, but just know that. So, let's see. Does have achievements, obviously, that goes back and forth. So, how long to beat? Says the main story is 4 hours.
No, it's not. It's not.
Somebody...
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Do we suck that hard, or are they lying?
They're lying. They're absolutely lying. I refuse to believe we are this bad together at a video game. Like, no.
Right. So what I'll say is on how long to beat, it has a total of 5 pulled. So not a lot of people are playing this game, but we'll see if that's a good or a bad thing here. Co-op retro futuristic space airline. Space Lines from the Far Out is a roguelike co-op management game about airlines in space, featuring unlockable spaceships, upgrades, characters, and customizations, randomly generated challenges, trips, and itineraries, with a generous serving of 60 space flair and jazz. Never fly the same trip twice with our mighty trip generator. A system that constructs fresh campaigns from unique sets of routes, destinations, space hazards, ship emergencies, and passenger events. Alongside it, our game balancing game director AI monitors player progress and performance through trips and dynamically controls the game events in real time, allowing for a seamless transition from single to multiplayer. This actually has a much longer description here, so I'm just going to finish it up by saying Space Lines from the Far Out is a procedurally generated co-op adventure where you and your friends and the crew of an intergalactic travel company, it's your job to get your passengers to their location safely, happily, and hopefully with as little vomiting as possible. Space Lines from the Far Out. Let's talk about it.
This game is hard. This is one of the hardest games I've played in my entire life. This is...
What I will say is I did not know about this game director AI thing. It now makes sense because like there was times like we're like, all right, we got this. And then we don't got this. Like we were totally fine. And then all of a sudden it just all goes to hell. And I enjoyed that aspect of it. But also it was always just like, did we really screw up that bad? So let's set this up a little bit. Have you, Basher?
What?
Have you ever played Overcooked?
We've played Overcooked together.
What if I told you you could do that in space? What?
I think I'd die because I can't breathe in space.
Oh. Well, in this game, you can. This is Overcooked in space, right? It's not all about cooking, but it's about the customer satisfaction. It's about balancing tasks. It's about spinning plates, you know, stuff like that. So you got 1 to 4 players. You hop on a spaceship and... You try to get to the end. And so during that time, you've got to feed people. You've got to pick people up. You are in control of the ship. You've got a radar that you have to, in real time, sort of use. So it's got like a cooldown on it. And you press the button and it shoots out like a wave so you can see what's coming up in front of you. Sometimes there'll be asteroids, or sometimes there'll be giant asteroids, or there'll be asteroid fields, or there'll be comets.
You can't dodge because you're a terrible driver.
Look. Sometimes those comets... they're rough, okay? They are extremely rough. And sometimes your ship doesn't have a bathroom on it, because why would it? And you have fuel, and fuel became a problem for us. And it's got all those aspects of, all, you know, everything you kind of want in these sort of light management sims that create some chaos. So that's kind of the basics of it. We actually played this, God, it had been like a year ago now, right? We tried it out. And we really enjoyed it, but we just never got back to it. But we didn't play it enough that we felt we could talk about it. But the second time we played it, we probably put a good 4 to 5 hours in it. And this game's rough, man.
For me, I think I didn't want to talk about it because I was so bad at it. Like I was enjoying my time the first run, but I just felt I was so bad at it. I'm like, let's play this again and get good at it, and then we could talk about it, and then we play it again, and we're still not good at it. I don't know what it is about this game in particular. I mean, because you and I can get pretty well some Overcooked, but
yeah.
I think that it's just a more simple to grasp game in general. Even though it gets very hectic, like the gameplay loop, it gets very complex, but the actual what you're doing is never really that crazy, I don't think.
It can be like once you, so I think the main difference is that game has a very linear path of you start out doing right. stuff easy, but then they throw curveballs at you and you can sort of figure it out. This is more procedurally generated, it's run based, so when you fail, like it can be catastrophic kind of thing.
It's always catastrophic. Like it is rough out there in space. And the challenge is, I think, brings a lot of the fun factor for me, because we're not completing this run the first time, the second time, or even the third time. We have not completed a whole run yet. And for me, that's the carrot on the end of the stick, because that's going to keep me going, because I want to see what I'm doing wrong, what I can do better, because at the end of each, not run, but each checkpoint, we're not even getting, we're struggling to get 3 out of 5 stars.
So we definitely got better though.
Oh, much
like,
better.
The first couple times, I think the key that we were missing was honestly feeding people. And it's because I think, so the passengers will kind of be on your ship. And depending on what ship you have, they have seats, and sometimes they don't have seats. If they don't have seats, then they're kind of in your way. But so each ship has kind of its drawback. So bathrooms are not on every ship. So if you run into a situation where people have to use the bathroom, you have to pull over and go to the bathroom. But also if you get the one with the bathroom, you've got to clean it. So like there's all of these little micromanaging aspects of it that are fun, but you have to sort of pick your poison. But we were kind of waiting until people were hungry and then feeding them, and it seems like that helped us immensely, because it seems like once they ask that they're hungry, it's almost too late kind of thing. But by the end there, we were getting like 2 to 3 stars. So you start out with no stars, and every star you go up, you basically, you can charge more for your ticket, which means you get more money. And then not every space station has it, but at every checkpoint after you do a run base, or not a, what do you want to call it, I guess, a level, sometimes there'll be, hey, you can go to the store and upgrade your ship. Or there's the bank, so that way, that's kind of your way that you can take some of your stuff forward. You can get insurance, and you can bank your money. Or there's the custodials, or the gas station, you know, stuff like that. So like there's aspects to managing that. You do need to kind of look ahead. You need to look at your path of where you're going. I'm like, okay, like here, like if we go this way, we're gonna have to get gas out in the field, and if we have to get gas out in the field, it's more expensive. But it's not guaranteed where the gas station will be. So if we go this way, we got to know about that. But if we go this way, like maybe it's a longer trip, but there's a guaranteed gas station at the end of it. And, you know, that can be the difference between making or breaking it, kind of thing. So once we like stopped just playing and actually thinking about it a little bit, I think we did a lot better. But every time, like, we feel like we're doing good, and then it's just that one level, just all of a sudden, it's just like, what happened? Like, what happened?
Things go to heck real quick in this game, and that's the magic for me. It's, you could be doing so well, you could be running a well-oiled machine, and then by the end of that level, you're like, wait, we only got 3/4 of a star? Like, what did we do wrong? But then there's sometimes where you listen to all the obstacles there, but like one of my favorites is the inspector. He'll stay on your ship the entire time. He's a guaranteed star if your ship makes it there with no messes, no cleans, no breaks in machinery. Guaranteed full star. The problem is making sure your ship has no issues with the passengers or the machinery, and everything breaks all the time. So you have to get upgraded equipment at some point. But what's the point of getting upgraded equipment if your ship's going to break down and you have to start all the way over? So you have to get upgraded equipment, which runs about $400 to $800, I guess, maybe more. That means you need to get insurance on your ship too, which is $600.
Right. And the other thing is that if the inspector finds anything, it's an instant fail.
Instant fail.
So that's the other aspect of he's extremely generous if you're good, but if you're not, he's not so nice.
There's so many aspects that are working against you, but Space Lines has figured out how to do that in a way where it's very fun and enjoyable. I forgot the name of the runner we did. It was like a dungeon crawler runner type of thing. And a lot of these games have aspects where they're working against you, like a bunch of random stuff will end your run. And for me personally, it sucks because it's nothing I could have done there. I couldn't prepare myself. Like, this is just completely random. This is completely out of my control. This sucks. I never had a chance. Space Lines, you always have a chance to make it there. You always have a chance to succeed. How you screw up is usually how you screw up. And that's something else I really like about this game.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. It's not perfect. That I wish it did give you a little bit more feedback of like, yo, you're doing this wrong, especially at the beginning. And maybe we're just idiots. We just couldn't, you know, figure it out, kind of thing. But I felt like we were doing okay. And then it's like we get to the thing and it's just like customers weren't happy. And it's like, well, why? like I thought that it seemed okay, because you can also dance and like keep them happy, and they'll do certain things that you like, and then you can pull over. And it's just like there's all these little aspects, but it doesn't teach you how to play very well. Granted, it could have just been we were just not thinking about it correctly. So is that the game's fault? I don't know. But that's the thing that comes to mind of a quote issue about it, but it's not even really an issue. So the other aspect of it was, it seems like this AI director can also like be a jerk, and there'll be times where we're 5 or 6 levels in, and I have no idea how many stops there are, because we've definitely gone where we've been at near like 10 stops, and it still seemed like there was quite a bit of ways to go. So I'm wondering I wonder if the number of stops is the same every time, or if it's I'm sure that the path is procedurally generated, but is the number of stops. So I'd be curious to know that. But there's times where we don't really, nothing's going wrong with the ship, because there is like a wrench aspect to where like your radar or something like that might start smoking, or your steering wheel might start smoking. You got to run and grab this wrench and fix it really quick. And it's not hard to do, but all of a sudden, like, everything will just start breaking, like, out of nowhere on one particular run. And that's never been an issue before. And I think those are the moments where we get sort of, I don't want to say discombobbled, but we're not used to seeing it. So then it's a new aspect of that chaos that you can't really maintain because you've never seen it before. And then you fail, and then you don't really get to experience that again to sort of get good at it, if that makes sense. And I think that's simply because when we started figuring it out, it seems like this AI director is like, okay, well, here you go. Like, you think you're doing well? Not anymore. And I like that aspect, but it can be a little frustrating, because it would be nice if we could get insurance faster or cheaper. If there was a way to kind of, I don't want to say keep going, but learn the game a little bit faster, I think I would enjoy it more. But again, according to Beat, we just suck. So,
no, and I'm happy to suck in this game. You know, like it keeps you going, because if the game itself is actually a 4-hour run, then we would have beat this in 4 hours and called it a day. Instead, we played 4 hours in one day, and we got halfway through, and we call that a success. The ability to pick and choose your routes, to plan ahead, that adds so much to the level of complexity in a good way for me, that this is one game I can just pick up and play almost each and every time. Like, just, hey, do you want to go for a run or two? And then it's 4 hours later. This is one of those games for me, and the way I really just need to see these bigger and better ships, because that will make all the difference. Right.
It seems like they just have more things on them. Like, I'm sure the medium ship has probably seats and a toilet, you know,
but
or something like that.
That's crazy when you think about it.
Right. But how many people can you fit on ship? Like, cause I think on the small ships the cap is 12.
Right.
I don't think it ever got larger than that. But I do find it crazy that we never even found the blueprint for like a medium ship. Like, what do you have to do? Like, do you have to beat the game to get the blueprint?
Absolutely not. We have to find it. It's out there in space, man.
I guess. I don't know. So, but then is the magic going to be over if we ever finish a run?
That's where. So that's where my thinking was, because I like the challenge so much that completing a run and having, like, do you get that good ship on that one run? You know what I'm saying? Like, or do you get the good ship on the second run? The second completion.
And I wonder if you complete it, what's the reason to keep going, I guess.
Right.
And that's always kind of the, you know, that's where the magic of Hades is, that when you complete the game, you want to complete it again. That was, I don't know how Supergiant figured that out, but that was the key to that game, right?
They figured out everything.
But, yeah. Remember, Hades 2 is a thing. When that comes out, that's the one, like, do we wait for, it's going to be an early access thing. I think I just got to wait for 1.0, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not doing any betas for that one. I don't need to. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So we'll see. Anyways. And I don't say, like, that's my concern with this game, because that's not even fair to really bring up a concern, because we haven't done it. But we played enough of it that we felt like we need to talk about it. And it's, for this game is only $15, and like, we've gotten at this point at least 7 to 8 hours of enjoyment out of it, and we want to keep playing it. This is one that, even though we want to move on to new stuff, but like, I'm like, no, like, I want to finish this game. I want to see what happens at the end. I at the very least want to get to the end of one run and just be like, okay, we did it. Like, I did the thing, and the AI director and the stupid inspector ain't got nothing on me. And it's weird. I don't want to say it's weird, but I'm surprised at how fast time goes playing this game, but also how it's not even really addicting. It's just kind of like, it's chill enough that you can, what's the word I want to say? You need to take it seriously, but I'm not like sweating.
Right. Exactly. No, yeah. It's, like compared to Overclock, like I start to like get the jitters.
You get frustrated.
Like, come on, you just start getting like that jittery frustration, and that's not a bad thing. It's what the game intends to do. Space Lines does that in a way without that. Like the frustration is almost inner. You know, it's and the decisions you make with your crew are just different. You know, it's different from me saying, "Hey, I need hamburger patty and lettuce. Chop chop, let's go." As opposed to
right.
us sitting in a gas station like, please don't buy all the gas. We don't need all the gas. And it's like, yes, we do.
And then we run out of gas.
Okay, you ran out of gas because you didn't get enough gas last time. I don't know why you did not get enough gas last time.
There was that one time where, look, we were literally at the station.
And we didn't make it.
I could see the station. And I was like, are you kidding me?
All the gas. Like, I just, it's the main, the cooperative play in this game is so unique that it just creates for its own fun in its own right.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'd be curious that I want to see how it is with more players, because where Overcooked was very good at directing you. When you had more players, it was smartly designed in how it sort of screwed with you. I'd be interested to see if this one is harder or easier with more players. I have a feeling it'd probably be
easier. To be easier. I'm putting out an official call for crew members. Like help is desperately needed. I don't know how the two of us cannot make a full run yet.
I don't. Other Corey might be a good candidate.
This is true.
Maybe we need to call her up. But yeah, no. So like that, those are the things that I'm curious about. But yeah, it's like you said with Overcooked. It's just like I don't want to say I lost friendships over that game, but like I had to take a break from that game at one point of just like.
But because you know why? In my opinion, that game is so simple in its core function that when you fuck up, it's such a I just asked for the burger bun. Like, how did you not give me the burger bun? Whereas, like, Space Lines, we're all doing these. It's almost like Among Us in a way, whereas, like, we're all doing separate tasks that lead toward the one greater good. And any discussions you're having is, how much gas should we get? Should we stop here? Let's stop and think about this. Actually, we can't stop and think about this because we're burning gas. So let's just keep going and figure out the best solution.
Well, and even though we have a common goal in Overcooked, like we're all doing the same tasks in Space Line. So a little bit of part of the management aspect is power. So it's like to be able to turn on the phone, which is what you have to use to dock. Basically, you have to until you upgrade your ship, you've got to power down something else, kind of thing. And so like we never really had the discussion about like, well, when do we power down? You know, it's just like, no, we just do it. Like we know what it needs to be done, and if I see you're not doing it, I'll go do it. Whereas Overcooked is like, yeah, okay, you're in charge of this. You know, I want you to do this. And this is more, I guess we could do it that way, but I actually feel like it would be detrimental because the customer aspect sort of does throw a curveball into things. There was also times where like you're cooking food and I'm cooking food. And there were times like I would start cooking food and then just walk away. You know, it's just like it was very easy to be like, we all have the same goals in mind. And it's not like we're Overcooked, whereas sometimes the level design will kind of put you in silos of, okay, like you literally can only do this one
right.
This is a shared space. So it's like, even though I put the burger on and maybe you're not ready or paying attention, you can still understand what's going on. And I'm not really screwing you in any way, where as an Overcooked, you kind of can. It's just like, okay, like I need the lettuce, and you throw the lettuce and it falls down. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, okay, well, I can't put this burger out because we need this. And now we're getting behind here. And now we're getting behind here. You can kind of get that here, but because it's sort of a shared task, anybody can sort of pick up where the slack is sort of like, okay, like, oh my God, like we're going into an asteroid field. Okay, I'm going to go grab the wheel and then you guys know what to do, kind of thing. And that's probably a lot of the secret sauce that, you know, it's the stuff that you don't think about. You just kind of do. And that's probably where the game excels. And that's probably why it's a little bit easier to sort of relax and play this game. Like you said, but when it goes wrong, it's never usually your fault,
right? Like,
it is, but it isn't. Like, it's usually like you made a choice about something and you made the wrong one, but at the same time, I don't know about that one. That's
I think
a tough
more
one.
Importantly to that, we made the wrong choice as opposed to other games in the genre where it's like you screwed up. I could point to you and say, LOL, you screwed up. This is your fault. You missed that flip or whatever. Where it's like, this is like when we run out of gas, we ran out of gas. Like, we had a discussion right before we left, like, how much gas are we going to get? It was like, well, we'll get this much. And I said, screw it. Let's go. Like, this is what we'll do. So when you fail in Space Lines, it's a team fail almost every time, I think.
And it's always kind of funny the way it happens. It's just like, oh, crap, like, the inspector's here, and, like, there's one dude that's just, like, about to, like, crap himself, and you can't find the bathroom, and then he just pukes everywhere, and then, like, oh, crap, okay, how we gotta clean this up? And it's not always your fault, if that makes sense. And again, and that's kind of frustrating, but I won't say it's better, but it's just different than the aspect of, like, okay, this person failed, if that makes
right
sense.
Right, it's just different, and I prefer the team fail over the you fail.
Right. And like with Overcooked, it's tough because, like, that game starts out and it's like, okay, like, I could play this with anybody, but then very quickly, a quarter through that game, it's like, okay, like, you got to know what you're doing now. Like, yeah. Like, this isn't a game anymore. This is life.
This isn't a game.
Okay.
This isn't a game anymore. No, well, yeah, you're exactly right. Cause with the Space Lines, I already know this is not a game. Like, I'm playing this with other gamers. Like, this is not a game. Like, person on the couch, like, please leave. I'm playing a game right now. Whereas Overcooked is the first few levels. It's like, yeah, this is fun for the family, and then you no longer have a family.
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting. But all right, Space Lines from the Far Out. I think it's fair to say that play this. This is great. This is a fantastic game. It's a sleeper game that, I, according to How Long to Beat, not a lot of people are playing, and they should. They genuinely should. This is it's not a sleeper hit. I'm super confused. I just hopped on to the reviews. This has a 3.2 according to Microsoft. Granted, their reviews are not smart. If you rank this game a 1 or 2 star, you're an idiot. I'm just going to say it. I don't believe you, and you're an idiot.
There you go. No.
You heard it here first.
Not.
You're
no.
an idiot.
We're having our own, is it Remnant from the Ashes? Is that the game that the guy called us dumb about?
Yeah. Yeah. He was very upset
about
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm that guy for this game. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's game of the year, but there's such a fun factor here. There's such well-intentioned gameplay design that works throughout here, that this is, you can't rate this lowly, and I can only highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see what it's doing on Steam and stuff like that, because, like I said, it's not perfect by any means. There's some frustrating stuff. I think sometimes, like, the feedback from the customers can be better, but it's never been a situation to where, like, the game doesn't end if the customers aren't happy. And I think that that's a key aspect of it, is that you need to do better. You just need to figure it out. But it's, like I said, come on. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Play Space Lines from the Far Out. Let us know what you like. 574-651-9256. When it comes to the future of this show, we're going to be talking about some Ravenlock. We're also going to be talking about some The Big Con. We might be doing a dual episode with The Big Con. We haven't really discussed it yet. So there might be a mystery third game in there. But some stuff that's on the docket. What?
Call to action. New crewmates for Space Lines. And can someone listen to all the episodes and say if I talked about Darkest Dungeon yet? Because I still don't know.
I looked it up and we did not. But I swear to Bob, we
all
did.
Right, well,
we talked about that. We talked about that game.
Thanks to you.
So I'm sorry, Bob, but I don't know. But Darkest Dungeon 2 is out now, correct? Not that it's going to disqualify it, but
not on Xbox yet, right? I think it's PC only.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, I'm not sure. So I again, I'm not saying this to be a jerk. I keep forgetting you don't have a PC. Like, we've done this weird thing where we've swapped brains now to where I'm like, I even got the gamer chair and everything. And I'm like, yo, PC games forever. And you're just like, yeah, I got a PC and I'm kind of okay with it. Like, you want to build one, but you're like, eh. Like, and I'm just like, let's go.
Like, it's not that I'm like, eh. It's just that I need to buy it all at once. I'm gonna buy the power supply on a Monday, and then 2 weeks later buy the GPU. Like, I just need to get the cash and just in. What, here's what's gonna happen. You're going to get a text message from me. It's gonna be, I'm ready. Let's go. Like, point me to this so I can just buy the things, because I already got the parts picked out for the most part. It's just, and I can get. I could drop money for the GPU right now. I'm just like, I don't. Then I'm just sitting here with God, the GPU. Like, I don't.
The GPU market is like, while the prices have come down, like Nvidia really pooped the bed with the 4000 series, and it's tough out there. Like, and I guess you're coming from the aspect of too, your machine was old enough that like you really probably can't bring anything forward. I just did a new build, and I was going to be able to bring half of it forward, but unfortunately now the only thing I was able to bring forward was the graphics card at this point.
The only thing that's coming is the hard drives. Everything else is gone. It's an entirely new build. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. I just need to sit down to it all at once type of thing.
So, and I believe you're an NVIDIA Intel guy, right?
Only because that's how it's worked out. I'm not against AMD.
So what I'll say is like, genuinely, this is not great on the topic here. Now's the time. Like, the NVIDIA 5000 series is dirt cheap. And see, the problem is like, right now, the high-end graphics card market, you should not participate. You should not own a 4090 or a 4080. They're way too expensive for what they are.
I never have. I always went for medium-high builds, because those games run most things. And they usually, well, in the past anyway, because this PC lasted me a decade. It's one of those things where if you build it right, with the right parts, it will last you quite a few generations. So I'm really not chasing the high-end trend, especially with the fact that things are just so horribly optimized. I don't need to play AAA games. I don't like playing AAA games. So it will be another high-end.
Yeah. That market is now like a 4070 is $600, and it's just like, wait, what? Like, and a 4070 is not considered high end. Like, it's such a weird thing. But it's also like, the Ryzen series is fantastic. Like, what's strange is, like, I've always been an AMD processor person. For the first time in my life, I went Intel though. Like, and I don't know how that happened. But it's, I almost recommend people be like, you know what, build your main PC now. But go with just like a medium graphics card. Go with the 6750. Like, it's, you're going to be able to play 1440p, 80 to 100 frames. Like, that's great. Like, if you're looking for all the bells and whistles, though, it's insane. It's absolutely insane to build right now. Like, I want to get a new GPU. I've got a 3060 Ti, and my upgrade would probably be a 4070. But it's only got 12 gigs of RAM in it. And it's just like, well, that's stupid. Like, I'm not going to spend $600 on a gimped card already. So it's dumb, but that is not Space Lines from the Front. There's your graphics card. There's your PC minute. So, all right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Don't build a PC, or build a PC. Do whatever you want. 574-651-9256. Let us know if you built a PC. All right, we'll see you next time with either Ravenlock or The Big Con.
Good day, sirs.